The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
People like me, Paddy, from the outside looking in, like I'd have learned way more off watching the likes of Bernard Brogan than I'd have learned off Jeremy Connolly and David Clifford, because them boys are freak shows.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick start car insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.
The News Round on Off The Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
All right, you're welcome along. It's Thursday's Off The Ball. Nathan with you on till 10 o'clock this evening. Busy show ahead. We are on the eve of Euro 2020, just a year late. John Giles will be with us at 7:30. He'll be looking ahead to the tournament and also looking back on the week that was for the Republic of Ireland. On the football show, Dan McDonnell will talk to us through that as well. And ahead of the weekend's fixtures, we'll preview some of them. Brian O'Driscoll with us just after 8 o'clock. He will be going through some of his best lines memories, some of his worst lines memories, his best roommates, the best players, all that sort of stuff. If you have any questions for Brian, you can get them in 53106 or at Off The Ball on Twitter. A text in already for Joe Malloy. Joe Malloy on the hard shoulder. I knew that Micheál Martin interview was an audition for something.
We have liftoff, Nathan. It's happening. It's happening.
Oof. This is the big show, Joe.
Is this the one?
Should I prime myself as, you know, am I finally getting the gig that I've waited all my life for? You know, the real off the ball hot seat, the Monday to Wednesday gig?
The coveted Sunday Monday to Wednesday.
Sundays, yeah.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Some Sundays.
Thank you.
Some Sundays. I think you'll find on a Sunday the Premier League commentary is the main event there. He's just the supporting act.
You need someone to hold it together, I find. Joe filling 6 hours of good stuff.
Well, yeah. Filling 6 hours, anyways. Is the, yeah. Don't tune in this Sunday, but anyways.
6 hours of good stuff is a big ask.
Who have you got on the hard shoulder tomorrow night then, Joe?
Oh, what have we got? There's a panel looking back on the week. All sorts of interesting things in it.
You're not exactly selling it here.
The show.
I'll tell you, the interesting things we've got on the show tomorrow. Oof. A panel reviewing the week on a Friday. Wow.
I'll tell you.
Oh, here he goes, here he goes.
Okay, so I'm looking forward to this panel. This is the little bit of variation I'm craving in my life. There'll be an interesting separate piece on hospice care in Ireland. We'll be debating climate change and farming. But in the final furlong chat, we have Andrea Gilligan, Eilish O'Connor, Jim Elliott, comedian. And here are some of the talking points coming at you, Nathan.
All right.
Should smoking now be banned outside pubs? We're all sitting outside pubs. Are people allowed to puff away? That's one. And we have women being asked all the time by people they don't even know that well. When are you having your second baby? Or also, when are you getting married? Seems to be an issue. And then there was a fella in a Belfast bar who went in, sat at the bar, and asked for a cup of hot water. They gave him hot water. He then took out his own tea bag.
Oh, no.
And drank the tea, asked for another hot water, and they said, here, no, we're not doing this. And he left them a stinker of a customer review, which seemed like not a fair thing to do. Customer reviews, Nathan, would you read a customer review before you go into before you book somewhere?
Well, I think in this profession, Joe, every time you go online is a customer review, isn't it?
Man, I try not to. I've given up. I've given up looking at those.
You don't go so on listen, to YouTube straight after? Those guys are big fans.
Nice guys. Nice guys on there, yeah. So look, all of that kind of stuff coming at you tomorrow, Nathan. Excited.
I am excited. I will be tuned in. What time is it on that, Joe, again? 4 to 7?
On the station that you work for? Yeah, Nathan, yeah.
You didn't even know who was on a second ago, Joe.
Sorry, you're presenting with that.
And what I've time just does given the panel you, start?
Just after 6, that panel kicks off, which I'm looking forward to.
Okay, well, we're all looking there forward to that. 4 o'clock, the hard shoulder. Every single day, Monday to Friday, but tomorrow a particularly special one because Joe is going to be in the hot seat. Send in your text 53106. He'll be more than happy to receive them. Any golf on it? Are you squeezing in a bit of golf?
Oh yeah, 5 o'clock story, golf. Yeah, my aim tomorrow is not to somehow be cancelled. I think.
Is it That's just the day you're doing?
Oh yeah.
Ah yeah. Come okay. on.
One day to impress.
That's how it starts, Anne-Marie.
He's an ambitious guy, you know. Soon, Anne-Marie, he won't even acknowledge us in the kitchen. We all know how this goes. We've seen this pattern before. We're on the eve of Euro 2020. It's strange, unfortunately, not getting to go this time. I was thinking back of the eve of Euro 2016 and the sun was shining in Versailles and all the Irish supporters are starting to buzz about, and 2012 in Sopot. down by the beach. Did we play our first game in Poznan or did we play it in Gdansk? We were based in Sopot down by the beach for the start of the tournament. It was glorious. And yeah, it's a strange build-up, all these different cities. It's never quite been a World Cup, but with Ireland not there, I'll be excited tomorrow. I've got my wall chart up. I'm looking through the games. 2 o'clock on Monday. I'm going to sit down and watch those matches. But God, right now, I'd love if Ireland were at this tournament.
Yeah, it would help. England are at 2 o'clock on Sunday, I know. So people will watch that. And I think there's a good game on Tuesday night, France and...
Germany?
Is it Germany? It might be Germany. Obviously, Portugal in that group as well. I think it is France-Germany. So, yeah, I think everyone's getting to that stage now where they're starting to earmark certain dates and times where they will not be available. So, I'm a bit like you. It's been an unbelievably low-key build-up.
I think there's been so much football, and usually there's an extra week between the end of the season and the start of the tournament, and you get a time to maybe want to watch football again, whereas we've all watched so much Burnley Crystal Palace that all of a sudden it's, well, we kind of watched 3 matches a day for the last year, so the novelty has worn off a little bit. But Turkey Italy tomorrow night should be a cracking game. Turkey, one of the sort of dark horses for the tournament. Roberto Mancini has reinvigorated Italy again. I was going to ask your favourite Euros memory. I asked Anne-Marie outside and she goes, I suppose Robbie Brady's goal was all right.
I said it was nice.
It was nice. It was.
The moment was nice.
The moment
was
nice.
I didn't say all right.
Nice. Okay, sorry. It was a nice moment.
Master of the understatement there, Anne-Marie. It was the greatest moment in Nathan Murphy's life.
That's not even that much of an exaggeration.
I know, yeah. I'll give you two. See, I was watching at home for Robbie Brady's, so it was amazing and everything. But I think, sitting pretty close to you and right behind it when Wes Hoolihan scored against Sweden. And just, look, I love Wes. Don't need to restate that. I just felt he deserved a moment like that. You know, that's worth... You know, that's got to be worth 20 caps against Georgia away in the qualifiers or that kind of thing. So for Wes to get a moment like that on that stage, and it was obviously kind of electric and important goal and all the rest. So that one has a special place in my heart. And then it's not so much a moment, it's just Zidane at Euro 2000 generally kind of was absolutely glorious, stunning. I mean, the way he manipulated the ball and touches over people's heads, and he was just phenomenal that tournament. I loved that France team so much. We touched on that with Amy Lawrence in the show last night. I just loved that France team. So I was all over Euro 2000 as a 15-year-old, and I think just Zidane Euro 2000, it's not so much a moment. I guess Trezeguet scores, you know, that crucial goal and the golden goal, as it was, against Italy in the final. But a combination of Wes and Zidane. So you're getting a theme there, Nathan.
Yes, beautiful footballers, Joe. Amory, I'm afraid of asking you because it's like when they ask Phil Foden, what's your first Euros memory? And he says, Euro 2012. what stands out, aside from that nice moment when Robbie Brady scored that goal?
My first Euros memory. I was in Spain when they won it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, was that...
08 or 12?
Or 12.
08. And that was pretty cool to be there. But I suppose 2012 stands out as well, just because it was such an event for Irish fans, and then it was pretty diabolical in terms of what we did over there. But it felt like a moment in time, and I suppose it's a big memory for a lot of fans.
I always feel sorry for that Irish team of 2012 because they're the only Irish team that's gone to a major tournament and never had a moment. Had nothing.
True.
There was no standout moment at all. Every other tournament, there was a victory, there was a goal.
How many
there was
times
something
did they
special.
Score? They scored once.
Sean St. Ledger against Croatia. That was it, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
What was Italy? 2-0?
2-0 and then 4-0 against Spain.
Well, yeah, I remember Spain very well. Mm. Though, in a way, Spain were so good, it was almost not that disappointing. Like, they were just kind of a joy to watch in person. I think even the Irish fans were in that space. Do you know the other one I have? This is the great thing. Like, I know the Champions League has blossomed and is better football and all the rest of it, but there is something about major tournaments that you can really just remember so many moments. So just as you were thinking there, what was your earliest memory? So mine is, I don't remember 92 at all. 96, I was 11. And I do remember me and mates more interested in playing football probably than watching football at that stage. And like playing with all the older lads as well. And that was a time when you had to hate England, you know, everyone hated England. That was just the way life was. And there was one mate's dad who loved England, and it was the night they were playing Holland, and so we were all out in the green, and he'd run out. It felt like it was happening every 2 minutes. Obviously, it couldn't have been, but he was like, "They've scored another. It's two." And he'd run back into the house, and he'd get running out. "They've scored three." And he'd run back into the house. And then, this is against the Dutch. I remember him coming out, dancing, going, "They've got four." And all the lads are going, "Here, would you?" You know, all this kind of stuff. And summer evening, it was nice weather. I mean, Euro 96 was a great tournament.
I think it was my peak interest in football was around that time. It was 14, 15.
I was obsessed four. With the... I don't remember it.
Turn her off. Four, God damn it.
Anne Marie, you didn't actually need to say that.
No, you didn't.
That was needless. Unfair. But what other moments would you get a neighbor running out of the house dancing four times? You know, like, so that is kind of the beauty of these major tournaments.
That was a brilliant tournament. Sun seemed to shine that entire summer. It was, and I will again get accused of having far too much of a soft spot for England, considering previous conversations, but it was a very likable time for that country, where like the music was brilliant. It was just in the middle of Britpop. The team seemed very likable. They seemed to live the life that a lot of people were living. They had McManaman and Fowler and Gascoigne and Shearer, and played some good football.
Totally agree. Again. I mean, the 90s in Britain. Their peak decade, really, isn't it?
I think it was. Well, it's certainly not coming back anytime soon.
Well, no, it's not. Aside from winning world wars and a couple of other, helping out, not winning single-handedly before someone wants to get in. But in our memory, in our lifetime, that was the sweet spot, the 90s. And to host the tournament, it was just amazing.
It feels like there could be on a cusp of a moment similar to your Zidane one this time around with Mbappe, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, we were talking about that last night. Yeah,
I got excited listening to it.
It was based on Wenger did a big.
Yeah, I know.
I know, but it's not just us talking, Anne-Marie. Okay, so I was trying bringing the listeners along for the ride.
I'll get used to this, I promise.
Yeah. So Wenger was talking to Amy Lawrence, and basically, if you didn't hear the piece, he was saying that like the great players, they separate themselves a little bit at the age of 20, and then often at 23, there's another separation. Mbappe's 22, so Wenger, who was saying, when he first saw Mbappe, he thought Pele. He thinks Mbappe is going to absolutely like explode and go to another level at this tournament. So that's kind of an interesting thought.
This time last year that England might be set for another summer like that, where they have a brilliant football team, an exciting football team, and maybe it can be a unifying force. Now I'm quite worried about what's going to happen in England over the next month. I'm not as convinced about the team. I think Southgate has so many selection headaches that he doesn't know what his first... I know he has a talented squad, but I think a year ago he knew far more of what 11 he wanted on the pitch. And what is going to happen with the players taking a knee? How is that going to grow momentum on both sides over the course of the tournament? It just feels like such a terrible state in that country right now with the pandemic and with the variants growing. It could just turn out to be a complete mess from an English point of view over the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I know. Could go either way. You know, they could start off well and a sense of unity breaks out and feel good vibes and it's sunshine. Or as you said, it could fracture very quickly. So Anne-Marie, if you're 4 in 96, is Euro 04 the Greece one? Is that your first Euro's memory, or is it more 08? Got the Greece winning was just
that would make me happier. All right, that you had to suffer through that as one of your earliest footballing memories.
Yeah, Greece would be the first Euros. Greece winning would be the first Euros I probably remember.
That's enough to put you off the Euros.
The news around and off the ball on News Talk is with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. Get your text in 53106 if you have any standout Euros memories. It's funny, with a World Cup we'd be here all night with our World Cup memories. With the Euros, it's very Ireland focused and a couple of other bits and pieces. But do let us know if there's something that stands out, or, you know, tell us those sad stories of those late nights in Sopot. Tennis, live tennis right now. The women's semi-finals are happening at the French Open.
Yeah, we're in the second semi-final. The first one today saw Russian Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova book her place in her first ever Grand Slam final. The 29-year-old beat Slovenia's Tamara Zidancek in straight sets, 7-6, 7-5, 6-3. That was at the French Open today, as you said, semi-finals day. Then the other semi-final is still going on. Czech Barbara Krejčíková and Maria Sakkari of Greece playing in this one, and they're tied at a set apiece. And then in the third set, Krejčíková leads 7-6. And this started at 4:15, so it's into its third hour, or it's into its fourth hour. It's been going on 3 hours.
All right, so that's ongoing. We'll keep you up to date as the evening goes on. We'll be chatting to Dan McDonald later on in the football show, sort of bringing to an end the chat about Ireland this week. But the fallout from the Irish players taking a knee over in Hungary is continuing.
Yeah, Hungarian Prime Minister Nathan Viktor Orban defended their fans today for booing the Republic of Ireland players who took a knee against racism earlier this week. Orban says that he agrees with the supporters' booing and claims the Irish players provoked them to do so with their actions before the game in Budapest on Tuesday. He added he has no sympathy for, quote, this kneeling business, and said it has no place on a sports pitch.
No great surprise, I think, from Viktor Orban there, Joe, that was his response.
No, it turns out the more you look into Viktor Orban, it's not a response. It's not a surprise at all. He's been criticized roundly by I don't know how many world leaders over the years for anti-democratic reforms, reducing the independence of the press. He's very much anti-immigration. He's very much anti-refugee. So he's coming at this from a certain perspective. Like, it's interesting he's saying, oh, there shouldn't be any. So he's saying there's sport and politics don't mix. That's, you know, his kind of vibe, and that's one of the arguments against this thing. And then I do feel that's a separate thing to what's going on in England, but I guess that's half the problem with this, is that any number of people are inventing their own reasons to boo something, even though the players have made it pretty clear what the gesture means. There's other people just refusing to accept that and interpreting it as something else, and therefore in their own heads justifying their booing of it. And I'm not sure what you can do with a bunch of people who just refuse to accept what they're being told by the players and just invent another rationale for what they're doing. What are you doing there?
Text in from our English colleague, Kieran Bradley, who says, Summer 96, Oasis and Blur battling it out, Gazza twisting Colin Hendry like a pretzel, winning a penalty shootout, 4 against the Dutch, balmy summer evenings, then holding a 22-year grudge against Gareth Southgate. Heady days indeed.
Yeah. Gazza's almost goal against Germany, sliding in.
And this is reading far much too much into that. I often wonder if, say, they hadn't gone to Hong Kong, does Gazza score that goal? Does he get there that 1 millionth of a second earlier if they haven't been on the lash for about 3 weeks before the tournament? Is he that little bit fitter?
Karol Poborski had a great tournament as well, didn't he? Moved to United off the back of that. It's all coming back here, Nathan. Glorious times. I was just thinking of memories. There will be listeners out there who partied with John Delaney in 2012 in a big way. Cherished memory for many, I think.
There are, yeah. Shoes off. Shoes off and all that. Sopot was a great place. Of all the places we've been to a major tournament, Sopot is right up there. I remember we used to go to this bar, the Alcatraz Bar, late at night, and I was sharing an apartment with Tony Fenton, the late, great Tony Fenton, and we would stay out late. I was working upstairs in Today FM, so, you know, there wasn't quite as much pressure as when we're working down here. You know, we'd do the show with Tony, we'd go and enjoy ourselves, check out the local nightlife, and, you know, we might go home. Myself and Ed Smith, also of Today FM, were sharing the apartment with Tony. We might go home at a reasonable hour, you know, 2 a.m. to be professional and be alive for, you know, the appearance on The Breakfast Show the next morning. Tony might appear a little bit later, yet still when we'd wake up in the morning, he'd be standing in the kitchen with a freshly made omelette, ready for everybody, saying, dude, that was a good night.
Wow, amazing story.
That was 2 good weeks.
Yeah, it turned out it was a great, like, it genuinely, if you weren't there, it was just perfect sized town, lots of cool bars, everyone around. It just turned out for the Irish team in the hotel, it was a prison for them because they obviously couldn't walk out the door. But for the rest of us, it was perfect.
Spent a week at Euro 96 staying in Pontins in Southport with two friends. Saw 4 games, including that great Croatia team. Some memories, says Alan in Cork. Marco van Basten's goal, the Euro 88 final against the USSR. To this day, still don't know how the hell it got in. Unbelievable, Jeff, says Kieran in Tip. Again, I'm too young for that.
I
don't remember.
I did see Roy Keane and Mickey Richards agree that was the greatest Euro goal.
Is there anything close? I'm not quite sure.
No, like, I don't think there's anything close. I mean, it's as a goal, it's a gazillion miles away from it. Like, Trezeguet's golden goal, it was a pretty cool finish. to win. I mean, that was kind of iconic. It's still, like, Van Basten's is just so far out in its own, I can't think of anything close to it.
Ronnie Whelan has been suggested by our producer, John Paul. No hyphen.
As a great memory.
As a great, as a great goal. He's putting it up there with Van Basten.
Did Ronnie not shin that one?
I was just going to say, he shinned it, didn't he? Yeah. He shinned it. Ronnie admit that himself, won't he?
Yeah.
He will now. Yeah. A great moment, unquestionably. I look forward to tomorrow's report from the Hard Shoulders' new North American correspondent, Kevin Kilbane.
Yeah, we're deep diving with Kev on Justin Trudeau and his politics.
Absolutely, absolutely.
5 o'clock.
You mentioned England-Croatia's 2 o'clock Sunday, which is one of the games of the weekend. Gary Neville was, I won't say he was laughed at or mocked, but when he said Harry Maguire was maybe England's most important player, everyone sort of raised their eyebrows a little bit. But he was pointing out that if he gets injured, they don't have anyone to replace him. And that's sort of proving to be the case. He is back in training, Emery.
Yeah, he trained today, Nathan, as he continues to step up his recovery from his ankle injury. He hasn't played now since the 9th of May. He suffered ankle ligament damage in United's Premier League win at Aston Villa towards the end of the season. He said on Twitter, it felt good to be back with the lads. As he said, Gareth Southgate's side get their Euros campaign underway on Sunday afternoon. That's at Wembley against Croatia.
Yeah, the talk in the papers today, Joe, is that he might play a back three on Sunday, because Maguire won't be fit for that, with Kyle Walker on the right of a back three, John Stones in the middle, and Luke Shaw on the left of a back three, with Ben Chilwell as left wing back, and then either Reece James or Kieran Trippier as the right wing back, which doesn't seem like an ideal scenario to be in at the start of the tournament.
No, it doesn't. And yet, geez, you list them out, God, they're all pretty tidy players, aren't they? At the same time, like, if they could click and gel, there's plenty of talent there as well.
Gini Wijnaldum, he was meant to be on his way to Barcelona, Anne-Marie, but he's ended up in Paris.
Yeah, he's joined Paris Saint-Germain. That's on a free transfer from Liverpool. He signed a 3-year deal with the Ligue 1 club. Wijnaldum left Liverpool at the end of the season. That was after opting not to sign an extension to his contract at Anfield. He'll play now under Maurizio Pochettino in France. As you said, Barcelona were after him, and Bayern Munich also had been trying to sign him, and he is set to captain the Netherlands at the upcoming Euros.
Double money. Double money, Nathan, is what he got. PSG said, we see what Barca are giving you, we'll double that.
Wow.
I don't know what the figure is, but they doubled what Barcelona were offering him. So that's kind of hard to say.
Considering he was already going on a Bosman, was probably going to be, like, there's no way he's getting less than 200 grand a week on a free transfer from Barcelona.
On a free transfer from Barcelona? Yeah, I mean, as broke as they are, certainly they throw 120, 150 at him on a free. So PSG have doubled that.
Nice.
So look, I'm sure. Yeah, it's and plus, I guess, like, look, Barcelona kind of the destination in many ways, but you're talking about the finalists of the last two Champions Leagues and closer to getting there again. So even from a footballing perspective, it's not an outlandish move at all.
Just finally, Anne-Marie, Celtic have a new manager whose name we're all going to have to get used to pronouncing.
Yeah, Ange Postecoglou.
Postecoglou. Say it as quick as you can.
Postecoglou.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Confirmed?
Confirmed today, and he says it's one of the greatest honours in football. The Greek-born former Australia boss appointed on a 12-month rolling contract, and he has a serious task ahead of him. The boys obviously trying to regain the Scottish Premiership. They finished 25 points behind Rangers in the end. And former Celtic defender Mark Wilson says he's optimistic about the future for the club.
Postecoglou may not have been their first choice, or they may not have even heard him until a couple of weeks ago, but he's the man who's been charged with taking the club forward, and I think the fans will get behind him and support him in what is a critical time for Celtic going forward, a huge rebuild.
All right, so we'll have lots more on that appointment over the coming days. Anne-Marie, great stuff.
Thank you.
Joe, best of luck tomorrow.
Good luck tomorrow, Joe.
We'll be tuned in.
Thanks, guys.
4 o'clock.
Thanks.
Don't mess up.
Don't screw it up, Joe.
Anne-Marie says that to me every Sunday as I walk to studio. So I appreciate that.
And it's always great.
Usually.
Is it?
Usually.
Is it?
All right. 4 o'clock tomorrow, the Hard Shoulder. 7 o'clock off the ball, though. So stay tuned after Joe. He'll be doing the warm-up act for Off the Ball tomorrow. So coming up, Brian O'Driscoll is going to be with us live after 8 o'clock. If you have any questions, we're going to be doing Lions memories, talking about some of his best and worst experiences. 5301 06 for that. Dan McDonald on the Football Show. But up next, as always, at 7:30 on a Thursday, it's John Giles.
The News Round on Off the Ball
with Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette. made of what matters.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quickstar car insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.